We invite you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We'll be reading the entire chapter. John 21. There's a soul-searching question, in fact, three, found in this chapter, asked by Jesus. He could very well ask us that same question. What would our response be if right now Jesus asked us, "Lovest thou me?" John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showeth he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a-fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Jesus seeing him, Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is a disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. We invite all those who are able to kneel for a prayer.
Good morning. It is a blessing to see each one of you here this morning. We thank God for each one of you and pray God will bless us as we meet together here this morning to worship Him. I didn't know how far out this would have gotten, but yesterday morning we were on our way to Heidelberg, Church of the Brethren, and Brother Paul sent me a message that in the city of Chernigov, Ukraine, the Russians had sent a ballistic missile, I think it was, into the drama center, which apparently is pretty close to where Alex lives. I think he had made the comment that he sometimes parks his vehicle there. And it destroyed that, and he also said there were some casualties. So keep them in prayer as the saga of war over there continues and can be tremendously wearisome. The subject of the morning is, Lovest Thou Me? Looking at this scripture here, Brandon Moody was attending his uncle D.L. Moody's church one Easter Sunday morning, and they were having a play. And the final scene of the performance was a depiction of Jesus' ascension into heaven. The actor who was playing Jesus was being hoisted by stagehands through an opening into the ceiling. But when he was halfway up, those that were picking him up lost their grip, and down he came, thankfully unhurt. But with a quick-thinking mind, he said to the audience, And one more thing, love one another. That's pretty quick on your feet, but I thought it was a good point that he expressed. Jesus said that love was that important, that not long before his arrest and crucifixion, he said this in John 13:34, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. It's by this that all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. As we look into this portion of Scripture this morning, and I do appreciate very much the comments that were shared in the opening by Brother Ken, and also the Sunday school lesson, I think this all goes together this morning, and I think the Spirit of God had that well planned. I hope we can gain some valuable insights as we look into this portion of Scripture for our Christian walk There's a number of different ways I think we can look at this passage of Scripture. I want to make it practical for us as a body of believers in Christ. You know, we often heard as we look at this passage about the questions that Jesus had asked Peter, "Do you love me?" They were a confrontation for him, for his denying Christ at his arrest and trial. I don't know that that's actually true of the account. But this account takes place after the resurrection, and according to verse 14, which Brother Ken read, it's the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after his resurrection. So the scene unfolds for us here at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. Just an interesting note on that, the Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake on earth, approximately 210 meters, which comes out to about 689 feet below sea level. At least seven of the disciples were gathered together here at this time, according to verse 2. Peter, not being one to stand around, I think he kept things moving. He said, "I'm going fishing," in verse 3. "And they say unto him, We also go with thee." So, as we understand it, they all join, and apparently were out all night and didn't catch a thing. Verse 4, someone shows up on the shore. But they didn't recognize this person. There was some dialogue between this person on the shore and the disciples in the boat, asking about how their night went. They didn't catch anything. "Cast your net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find." So they did. I guess they figured, what's the use to not? We didn't catch anything all night. We'll try what this individual says, and they caught fish. A multitude of fishes, it says. And then they recognized who was on the shore. John said to Peter, "It is the Lord." It's interesting as we go through the scriptures that many times John is the one to see and understand first, and Peter is the one to act first. It's also interesting here that when Peter realized who was on the shore, he was going to be the first one to meet him. In verse 7, Simon Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat around him, and for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And it says the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits. He wasn't shy at this point about getting to Jesus. And I said earlier about sometimes we see this as a confrontation of Jesus to Peter for his three times of denying him at his arrest. I don't know that that is an accurate assessment of the scripture. It is believed that Jesus confronted Peter earlier about his denial at the trial. If we read in 1 Corinthians 15:5 of the different encounters that Jesus had with the disciples, we read there that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. It is believed that possibly at that meeting, we don't have the details of that meeting, they're not given to us, but it is believed then that Jesus possibly confronted Peter about his denial and forgave him for what he had done at the trial. And I believe the scriptures flow together here with the verses that follow, and I hope I can convey what is on my mind in a way that can be understood. At this point, I believe Peter's sins were forgiven, and he was restored to the Master, and I think he was eager at that point to be with the Master. And I think, as for us, when we realize that our sins are forgiven, when we realize that he took and bore the burden of our sins, we accept that fact, we will be eager to be with our Lord. 1 John 1:9, very familiar portion of Scripture to us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we realize and accept the fact that he is faithful to forgive us, we sang of the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. He has promised if we confess, if we repent and turn from our ways, that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And I'm sure when we realize those facts, it will make us eager to be with our Lord through his word and in our daily walk of life. And I'm sure here in the setting in John 21, not every word that the disciples and Jesus shared are recorded I don't know that, but I just take for granted there was probably some other conversation as they brought the fish up out of the water and the fire of coals was ready on the shore, and they enjoyed this early morning meal together that morning there by the sea. So they finished their meal together, and Jesus turns to Peter. And ask him a question. In verse 15. Simon Peter. Or Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter's answer was, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And I want to just look at this from a different angle. And look at these questions from at least three different perspectives this morning, and I really believe that all can be applied here as we consider these questions. And I think we need to remember that Jesus is going straight to the greatest commandment in all of Scripture, where in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, we read that he was approached and asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I think it was brought out in the Sunday school lesson, the greater our love for our Lord, the greater our love will be for our families, the greater our love will be for the church family as we worship and mingle together in other activities. Mark 12:31 says that there is none other commandment greater than these. So the question is this morning for each one of us, lovest thou me? And I believe in each one of the scenarios we want to approach this at, we need to put our own name in there, as Brother Ken indicated in the opening, where Jesus addresses Peter personally. We can put our personal name in there. And I don't want us to think about me, but let the Lord address you personally this morning as we look at these questions. You know, Jesus didn't stop with just asking Peter there in verse 15 if he loved him in this first question. He says, lovest thou me more than these? And I'm not sure of the reason that Jesus said that. There could be possibly many, and that's what we want to take a look at this morning. But the first one, I think we could apply to this scripture. In my own words, Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? Do you feel like you love me more than these other disciples? He might have been moving his hand to the disciples. Do you feel like you love me more than these? That your love is supreme to these, to the other disciples? You know, Peter made some bold statements about his devotion to Christ. In Matthew 26:33, Peter said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You know, do we think that sometimes? Nope, not me. It's not going to happen on my watch. I'm not going to let that happen. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In the setting there in Matthew 26, Jesus told Peter again, in my own words, better be careful, Peter. You're going to deny me three times tonight. And you can read that account there in Matthew 26, verses 34, 35. Peter gets pretty adamant about his response to Jesus. He says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise, it says, said all the disciples. They all chimed in. Well, you know what happened. You know, at that point, Jesus knew more about Peter than Peter knew about himself. And I think he does the same with each one of us this morning. So how can we apply this to us? Do we at times feel like we have really strong feelings about something or about how we'll serve the Lord and that it could be better than somebody else? And I just ask us to think about that and let the Holy Spirit speak to each one of us in relation to that thought. We read in 1 Corinthians 8:2, if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. And I see this portion of Scripture here, this lesson to Peter, for myself and to each one of us, as a lesson of humility, as a lesson of humble service for the Master. humble service for Jesus Christ in our daily walk? Peter gives his answer, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And I do believe that answer was from the heart. Could we say that Peter was a mature Christian at this point in his walk? Probably not quite yet. Then Jesus replies to Peter in verse 15 with a few words, simply, feed my lambs. And if I can, I believe that answer contains in it, in my own words, if you really love me, then do what it takes to feed my lambs. It's interesting to note here that the first two times Jesus asked Peter of his love, he uses the word for agape love. The third time Jesus asked, he uses the word for phileo love. But each time Peter answers Jesus, he uses the word for phileo love in his responses each time. I'm not sure the significance of that, but it was interesting to note that as I looked into this portion of Scripture. So, the word love appears in the Scripture more than 500 times. The essence of the Gospels are love. Probably the most familiar verse in all Scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was the love of God. And by this, we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We're to serve one another in love. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we're to live a life of love, a love of action. So Jesus asked the second time here in verse 16. Peter's response is exactly the same as it was the first time. And then Jesus' response, he simply changes his wording from feed my lambs to feed my sheep. And in my own words again, if you really love me, Peter, if you really love me, Larry, put your name in there. Do what it takes to feed my sheep, whatever that is. So Jesus comes back to Peter the third time in verse 17, asks the same question, using the phileo meaning of the word love. Peter's now getting a little frustrated, and as I see it, he kind of lets Jesus have it in a way. And says, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus' response again was simply, feed my sheep. In my own words again, then do what it takes to feed my sheep. Often we hear comments like, you know, we should be doing this or we should be doing that. And I think the best answer is simply feed my sheep. In other words, just do it. I remember on the farm in different instances, I would complain about something not getting done when I was younger. And my dad said, well, whose responsibility is it to do it? Why don't you just do it? It was like telling me, feed my sheep. Just do it. In other words, it might not get done if you don't do it. So we need to take these words to heart when we hear that. Just do what we know needs to be done. As individuals, as part of the body of Christ, don't depend on somebody else to do it, but if we know what should be done, do it. Can you imagine how the church would grow in number and grow together if we would take that to heart? As Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. Do what it takes to feed my sheep, whatever that is. If each one of us would take it to heart, whatever that means, whatever we encounter, whatever situation we run into, feed my sheep, each one of us. Don't rely on somebody else to do it. We're all ministers in a way. We're all called on to share the word of God, to share the blessings of the gospel message as we meet people and come in contact with people from day to day. Ephesians 6, 6 and 7 says we're not to do things with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That's when we don't worry about somebody else doing our job for us. We don't worry about doing it to make an impression on somebody else. We do it because we love the Lord and we know that it needs to be done. It's an encounter that we have. It's a situation that we have come across. We need to do what needs to be done. Feed my sheep. Do what it takes to feed my lambs. So, as we look at this, that's our first angle to look at this. Peter possibly feeling like his love for Christ was greater than his fellow disciples. And I hope we've seen that it's not the proper way to look at ourselves at all. There's a sense of pride in that look. And it's a sense of self-centeredness, a sense of lifting up self. Peter said, you know, I'm not going to deny you. I'll die for you before I deny you. And of course, the truth of the matter was that he did deny Christ that night. I think it was a tremendous lesson for Peter, and a lesson that we all need to recognize. The second perspective then is, remember the setting. They were fishermen. They were on the shore, the boats, the nets, and whatever paraphernalia was there that goes along with the fishing, the netting, the riggings for that. And I don't know what all would be involved in that. But could we see Jesus motion his hand toward all that when he said, "Lovest thou me more than these"? Could he have been referring to material things? And could he be asking us that this morning as followers of his? Are there things in our lives that are holding us back and not allowing us to have the love for Christ that we should have? You know, most of us have some pretty nice material things. We're very blessed in this country and in our time. Could they be getting in our road? Could they be getting in my road for my love for Jesus? I know we know the verses very well. 1 John 2:15 and 16, it says there, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And it's easy sometimes to get caught up in the things of this life. You know, I've had a couple funerals for some pretty wealthy people in our neighborhood. And I've seen all that they work for after they're gone get dispersed out to other people. And I had to wonder, was it worth it? All the time and effort that they put into it, is it really worth it? There's an old graveyard on one of the properties there, and I go by that graveyard very often, and I often wonder about those people that are buried there. What were they like when they were living? Were they quiet, humble people that loved the Lord and served the Lord through their lifetime? Or were they big-feeling people, proud people? People who thought they were pretty special in their own eyes and in their own lives? I don't know what they were like. Some of them have been there for a couple hundred years. It's an old graveyard. Some of the stones are just simply stones, unmarked. Some of them are marked from a couple hundred years ago. That's all behind them now, whatever they did in their lives. For many, many years, and all that matters now is where they are in eternity. All that matters is what they did with Jesus Christ when they were living, and what their attitude and their response was to the gospel message. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And I ask myself again, what is in the road of my love for Jesus Christ? What is in the road of your love for Jesus Christ? When he asks us, "Lovest thou me?" You know, as I think about it, even the latest and greatest agricultural equipment or construction, excavating, trucking, the latest in houses and barns or the cars and trucks of today will not too distant future be obsolete and antiquated. That's the way things go in this world. Hard to believe when you think of the price tag that's attached to some of the things of today, but they will, in a few years, be antiquated and obsolete. That's how quickly the things of this world pass. I started out farming with two-cylinder John Deere tractors, and you don't see too many of them on regular farming operations today. It would really slow things up. So that's how quick the things of this world pass. And I think it should be a warning to us as to how we should view things, material things. The account is recorded in Matthew 19, starting at verse 16, where an individual came to Jesus and he said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Now, I don't think it's wrong to have possessions. I don't think it's wrong to operate a business. But if that's where our first love is, it is wrong. And apparently this young man had a lot of things in the road of his love for the Lord. He apparently was a pretty good fellow, at least in his own eyes. In verse 20, he seemed to have it all together. The young man said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." And I almost believe he was expecting Jesus to give him a hearty pat on the back and say, you got it, man. You got it together. But that's not what Jesus said. There are some things that are standing in your road of true service for me, hindering his love for the Lord. Verse 22 says, "The young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. When it came down to the test, he failed." And I ask us this morning, would you or I pass or fail that test? The third perspective we want to consider is that when Jesus asked Peter the question in verse 15, could he have meant, "Do you love me more than you love these other guys?" Your relationships. Is there a relationship or relationships that we value here on earth and hold dear in our relationship with Jesus Christ? We don't think that could be possible, but I think it could be. Jesus said in Luke 14, 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also," he makes a pretty stern statement then. He says, he cannot be my disciple. Just to clarify for younger ones, the word hate there in this verse means to love less. But he's saying here in this portion of Scripture that no earthly relationship can stand in our way in our love and devotion to the Lord, or you cannot be my disciple. As the scene continues to unfold there by the sea, Jesus in verse 18 of John 21 gives some prophetical comments to Peter. And then he says in verse 19, after those comments, "Follow me." Jesus' answers were very short, but very pointed. "Follow me." You see, Jesus knew what was on Peter's mind, and he knew what Peter's next thought was going to be. We don't know that when we talk to people, but Jesus did, and it comes out in verse 21. Peter, seeing him, that is John, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" And then Jesus replies to that in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And if you'll allow me to put that in my own words, I would say that I look at it this way. What should it matter to you as to what my will for him is? Don't you concern yourself about him. You just concentrate on following me. The Amplified Version says, Jesus said unto him, "If I will have him to survive until I come, what is that to you? What concern is it of yours? You follow me." It's important for us to follow him. And then, as I said, when I see the answers that Jesus gave, he is saying, do what it takes to follow me. Do what it takes to feed my sheep. And I think so many times we get concerned about other people, what someone else is doing or saying, when our plate is full of inconsistencies in our own lives. And I said in the opening, I'm talking to myself. And that's what we really should focus on. Our relationship with Jesus. Is it greater than any relationship we would have here in this life? So looking at the three different ideas that we did, first of all, did Peter feel like he had a greater love for Christ than the other disciples may have had? Was it possible, second, that material possessions might have been holding Peter back in giving his all in loving the Lord? Could it have been the relationship that he had built with the other disciples or some other relationship in this world that stood in the road of giving him total devotion to Jesus? And maybe there is a fourth perspective to consider. Could it have been true that Jesus was putting all that together? Everything we talked about so far, to bring it to the one question: what are you willing to give up to follow me? When Jesus said, "Follow thou me," I think the question is in there: what are you willing to do to follow me? What are you willing to give up? Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, and I think that was on the board last Sunday, if I remember right. And I appreciate those verses that you put up from time to time, Brother Art or Sister Barb. I'm not sure who's responsible for that, but I do like to look them up and often go along with the message. But he says in Matthew 16:24, that Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And then in Luke 14:27, he says this, "And whosoever will not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Many of you remember Jen Psaki, who was the White House press secretary. She had this little quote she used often, at least in the beginning of her term, of circling back. I know a lot of people picked up on that and kind of made light of it, but I think at this point we're going to circle back. And it goes back to the greatest commandment of all. Looking at Mark's recording of that great commandment in Mark 12:29, Jesus answered and said, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." You know, that kind of love for our Lord, I think it's something that we each need to work at daily. It's a battle for us to share and show that kind of love on a daily basis. But it will manifest itself in service. That kind of love for the Lord, for our neighbor, for our fellow man, is where self-denial will really show. It'll manifest itself in humble, sacrificial service. That's the kind of love that don't tell others so much what they should be doing, but doing it. When Jesus said, "Feed my sheep," do what it takes to feed my sheep. It springs into action, that love, and makes things happen. You become like the people you really love. The things they love, you love. And if we go back to the epistles that Peter wrote, we find a completely different man as he wrote those epistles than he was in the garden when he was trying to physically protect Jesus. And I believe when he swung the sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear, he was going for more than an ear. But in his writings, as a mature man of God, he says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In another place, he writes in 1 Peter 5:6-7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Also, 2 Peter 1, I'm not going to read that, but there's some powerful admonition there, powerful words that Peter penned by the Holy Spirit's guidance. And he reminds us of what the love of Christ for each one of us cost in self-denial. I think sometimes we look at the love of Christ, God so loved the world, we hear those verses, and the love of Christ is, it's totally beyond our comprehension. But look what it costs. You talk about self-denial. I don't have it in my notes, but Philippians 2 says, he took on himself the form of a servant. and humbled himself, even to the death of the cross. There is no one that ever denied themselves to that point, to know what he left, to come, to give his life. That is self-denial. For as much, he says, 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Then he says this in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's the kind of love, brothers and sisters, that is a love of humble service, a love of self-denial. It's a love that's an action. And that's the kind of love we need to strive for our Lord and between each one of us as brothers and sisters in Christ. John writes it like this in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The Lord bless you.
You know, when Jesus approached Peter, those first two times he used that word agape, which is a divine love. It could have been a way of Jesus saying to Peter, do you have a divine love for me that God has put in your heart? Peter seemed to be someone who compared himself to others. He needed to be one step above the others, or one step ahead. So do you, Peter, have the ultimate love of God in your heart? Peter's mindset here is to be outstanding. And Jesus' response is, feed my lambs. In other words, if your love is so outstanding, start thinking little. Start thinking small. Start thinking about caring for those who cannot care for themselves. And I took a quick glance through the first epistle of Peter, and I found it was interesting that the way he referred to his audience early in his epistle was as obedient children, as newborn babes, paying attention to the lambs. His last question was, really, do you have brotherly love for me? Do you love me as a brother? First question could be, do you love me as God, as Lord? Second one could be, do you love me as a man or as a brother? Because if you love me as a man or as a brother, you will also serve my brothers, feed my sheep. Now, these questions were not specific enough that we can't say for sure exactly what Jesus had in mind. And I think it's intended to be that way because, you know, if Jesus would have been very prescriptive, our minds would focus on that. And if we can get that resolved, we've checked the box and we're done. But these questions were intended to be open-ended so that they might address every area of our life. How is our love life for Jesus Christ in every area of our life? And those are questions that we need to ponder. Let's stand and come before the Lord in prayer.